Bible. If you have a Bible, if you please turn with me to Luke chapter 24, and then read from verse 25 to verse 31. And here the context is after the resurrection of Jesus, and in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, it says that he said to them, "O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, of not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." Now the word vanish in the Greek is actually disappear immediately. Right? So that is the emphasis. It disappear immediately. And then in the Gospel of John, a couple of books later, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, please, verse 19 to verse 21. Verse 19, it says, "The same evening at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad that when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you.'" And then the next passage is taken from Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 9, please. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 9. Are you there? Alright, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the thousands. And when he had tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wife and his concubine might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wife and his concubine drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man had appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joint of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried out to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayer. The king spoke saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever read this writing and tell me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple, and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king its interpretation. And King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. Let's pray. Father, come to you in the mighty name of your Son Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the various scripture, and you grant us understanding, Lord, what is taking place. And in particular, Father, in the current events that's taking place in the different parts of the world, and there are some spiritual significance, so I pray that you bring to our attention, and that we'll be attentive and alert to all those things that happen around us, so that we can see all the different tracks and all the different events are converging towards, Lord, the very last days. And so I pray that you bring us into a sense of urgency and bring us to a sense of being watchful and being alert, and so that we are in the know spiritually and we're prepared for your second coming. And so we commit, Lord, this morning session unto you. You anoint your servant to speak your word with clarity and simplicity. And Lord, I pray that you also anoint the ears and the hearts of the people to hear and to receive your word with understanding, and that, Lord, that we may all, Lord, come to this understanding, Father, that there is this trumpet call of your second coming, for they are near. And we ask, Father, that you will just grant us, Lord, the longing, Lord, to prepare ourselves for your second coming, in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, in my last sermon, I spoke about artificial intelligence and the implication in terms of fulfilling some future Bible prophecy. But today I'm going to give you another perspective, another prophetic update. And this time it is related to unidentified flying objects, what we call UFOs and aliens. It may be strange why I speak on this topic, because there are things that happen, as I said, has got spiritual significance. Now, if you remember, 2 years ago, some U.S. government officials and organizations actually called this UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. But I'll still use the more common term called UFO, because every one of us is familiar with this term. And so the title of my sermon is, Are UFO Phenomena Real? All right, that's the question that I want to pose to you. Now, I want to speak on this topic because this has big significance in terms of Bible prophecy. And I want to speak so that I'll bring it to your attention, so that you are aware of what is happening. Now, there have been many UFO sightings for centuries, right? But only in the last 2 years, it became an official subject of interest. As I said, 2 years ago, the U.S. government and several European governments started to actually release lots of classified material on UFO. Now, in fact, in May 2022, the U.S. Congress even conducted an official inquiry and public hearing into the UFO phenomena. And so the big question that is to be asked is, why a sudden U.S. government fascination and also official inquiry into the UFO and the alien phenomena? Now, I believe that this is a preparation for some big coming deception in the spiritual arena. Now, the hearing actually have featured testimony from many high-ranking military personnel, like military pilots and intelligence officer, and also review many encounters and sighting of UFO that remain unexplained. And so this official and public inquiry from various respectable or reputable sources lend credibility to the claim that the UFO phenomena are real. Now, they even show some video footages of those encounters. And so the U.S. government actually admitted that these phenomena are being taken seriously and warrant more investigation due to the potential national security implication. Now, after this official hearing, due to the potential, this topic has actually generated increased public curiosity. So all these factors contribute to the heightened fascination and ongoing discussion about UFO aliens in the public and social media. Now, many people actually have speculated and believe that aliens, UFOs, are actually extraterrestrial ET intelligent being. In other words, they believe that aliens comes from other solar system or other galaxy several light years away. And a recent survey showed that more people in Europe and United States, first time in history, now believed in UFO and alien more than God. Now, because of movie, UFO sighting, public congressional hearing, etc., a lot of people are more convinced that they are super intelligent beings coming from other planets. And this belief is gaining more traction. Now, because of its spiritual and prophetic implication, I need to speak on this subject. And we Christians are supposed to be watchful and alert spiritually of what is happening and what is to come prophetically. Now, there's a guy called Alan Hynek, a researcher, and he estimated that during the 1970s, there were approximately about 100 UFO sightings each night throughout the world. And out of the 100 sightings, only 1% of the UFO sightings actually get reported. And so in a year, we get about 36,000 sightings, and only 360 get reported annually. So after the U.S. congressional hearing, there are actually more speculation about UFO and aliens, and they just don't go away, and they continue to crop up in conversation all over the places. And some actually tell very credible story of seeing very weird lights in the sky, lights that seems to defy explanation, flying saucers and skinny, weird, green-looking men flying overhead in spaceships. And so many questions are being asked. What are those things in the sky? Where do they come from? Does alien life exist? Does intelligent life exist somewhere beyond planet Earth? Is the U.S. government hiding something? And so many questions. And also recently, the Wall Street Journal reported that according to U.S. intelligence report, UFO sightings have actually increased significantly in the past 2 years. And so the number of UFO incidents annually actually have increased from 360 in the 1990s to over 5,000 recently. And this is not surprising, because since the release of this classified document and the congressional hearing, it naturally sparked a lot of interest in the UFO phenomena. And so the key question is, are UFO and alien phenomena real or fake? And so today's sermon, I want to first explore this subject and establish the facts from a scientific, evidence-based perspective, not mere speculation. And so in my next sermon, it will be more from a spiritual perspective. As I research into this area, I bump into a writing and actually interview of a Christian author, or rather a Christian astrophysicist called Hugh Ross. And he is a renowned scientist and a senior scholar who did his postdoctoral research at Caltech, one of the top technology universities in the U.S., and so he also is a founder of another organization called Reasons to Believe that researches and communicates how scientific discovery and nature actually harmonize with the Holy Bible. And so in his professional research, he says that about 95 to 99% of the UFO phenomena can be explained easily. They are attributed to factors like it can be drones, can be optical illusion, or stars or planets at their maximum brightness due to certain position, or comets or meteors. They could also be misidentified man-made phenomena like the balloons, or secret and unconventional military aircraft, or some secret advanced technology, or some rocket launchers, or lasers that actually aim at the clouds. And for some instances, they are even hoaxes. So having said that, but there is still a small percentage, between 1 to 5% of this reported UFO phenomena, and they are proven to be real. So if a small percentage of them are real, so where do these UFO and aliens come from? Now, I submit to you that this real UFO phenomena actually come from a non-physical realm. And I want to back up with evidences. Evidence number one. Now, all these UFO phenomena actually consistently defy the physical laws of physics. So the only explanation is we are dealing with non-physical reality. So all these flying objects actually need control services like the rudder or the flaps of the ailerons of the stabilizer to control the flight movement of the flying object. However, the verified footages of this UFO flying spacecraft show that they have no control surfaces or combustion coming out. They appear and they disappear instantly. That is the characteristics. Yet they can fly and go underwater. And in the video footages, these military pilots testify that this aircraft can make a sharp and sudden 90 degrees turn, going at the speed of sound, at the 5 to 23 times the speed of sound, without any problem. Now, as you know, speed of sound is very fast. It travels at 343 meters per second. So I speak to you, you hear me instantly. So if you're talking about the 5 to 23 times the speed of sound, it is super fast. Now, no physical object can withstand the G forces at this kind of speed. It will simply break up. It's impossible to do a sudden 90 degrees turn at such a speed. And therefore, it defies the physical law of motion in physics. As you know, when you want to make a very sharp turn, you need to slow down and you need to do a gradual 90 degrees, a progressive 90 degrees turn. And so the question is, how is it possible? It is only possible if the object has no mass. If the object has no mass. And so it defies the physical law. And then thirdly, at this extreme high speed, 5 to 23 times the speed of, 23 times the speed of sound, it also reports no evidence of aerodynamics heating. Now, for example, when a space shuttle re-enters the Earth, it travels at the speed of actually 17,000 miles per hour. Now, that is 23 times the speed of sound. And then the surface of the shuttle will experience high temperature of up to 1,600 degrees centigrade. So if the shuttle, space shuttle, is not insulated with some very special carbon material and some silicon tiles on the outer surface, it will just melt like a wax. But this UFO show no sign of aerodynamics heating due to this atmospheric friction. And then the fourth point is, at this extremely high speed of 5 to 23 times the speed of sound, it also shows no signs of sonic boom. And according to the law of physics, if a physical craft actually travels through the atmosphere at multiple speed of sound, you would surely get some sonic booms. So a spacecraft comes through our atmosphere at the greater speed of sound, you get two loud sonic booms. One is created by the nose of the craft, and the other one is created by the one at the tail. And so for the UFO, you don't see or hear any sonic booms at all. And then fifthly, for about 2,000 documented cases, observers actually see this UFO traveling through the atmosphere and then later some of these crash into the Earth. But when you go into the crash site, you only see a shallow crater. If there's snow, the snow will melt and the vegetation will get damaged. But for those that crash at the site, you cannot find any artifact or debris at all. So again, if it's a physical craft, there will be some debris or some physical artifact that people could pick up, but they don't see any. And so all of the above evidences point to it defying the physical law of physics. And so the only explanation, we are dealing with non-physical phenomenal or non-physical world. An astrophysicist call it an interdimensional or extra-dimensional phenomena. But we Christians call it the spiritual realm. And so the conclusion is this: aliens and UFO are not extraterrestrial entity from other planet or galaxy, but they are from the spiritual realm. And we can safely say that we are dealing with something far higher than our physical realm of, or our realm of physical world. Now, why astrophysicists use the word extra-dimensional? Now, they call it extra-dimensional because it is far higher and above the current dimensions that we know. Now, as you know, in the physical world, astrophysicists call our world a space-time continuum. Why would they call it? Now, because we have at least three dimensions. We have length, you have breadth, you have height. And then on top of that, you have the time dimension. Now, however, there is another far higher dimension that defy all the physical laws of physics. And so interdimensional and extra-dimensional being can instantly and suddenly appear and disappear in our physical world. And so UFO and aliens are interdimensional entities in the spirit world. Now, in fact, in the Bible, there are many examples of inter- and extra-dimensional phenomena. And so, spiritual beings are, in fact, extra-dimensional beings. They have the ability to travel between dimensions instantly, from the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension and vice versa. In other words, the phenomena that happen in the spiritual realm are only possible in a multi-dimensional world with inter-dimensional being. And for that, I want to give you examples in the Bible. There is a story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You read it in the passage in our opening sermon. And after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, of course, all his disciples were not aware and they were despondent. And two of his disciples were on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And then suddenly a man came to join them and were chatting to them about how Jesus must die and rise again on the third day. And these two disciples were unaware that it was Jesus until they reached a house in Emmaus. And so after partaking the communion, their eyes were open. And they knew that it was Jesus. And then in verse 31, it says that Jesus actually vanished suddenly from their sight. So if you see a person and then suddenly vanish from your sight, he doesn't walk away to a far place. It just vanished before you suddenly. And so one moment he was there. The next moment he disappeared instantly. And so this is an example of interdimensional appearance and disappearance from the spiritual realm to the physical realm and vice versa. And then another example, example two, Jesus actually entered a locked room in John chapter 20. And on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus' disciples were gathered in a secure locked room. And they locked all the doors and windows because they feared that the Jewish authority would send men to arrest them. And so there was no way for anyone to come into a secure and a locked premise like this. And yet Jesus was able to enter a locked room and appear to his disciple in his glorified body and say, "Peace be with you." And they were all terrified. And then Jesus showed his marks, his pierced hand, to identify himself that he was actually resurrected physically. And then later, at that instant, Jesus just disappeared suddenly. Now, how did Jesus do that? Jesus' resurrected and glorified body was an interdimensional body. His glorified body could operate and also travel between different dimensions. Dimensional world. That's how he appear and disappear, by stepping from the spiritual dimension into the physical dimension space at will. And then Example 3 is even more strange. The writings on the wall. The passage that we read from Daniel chapter 5. A Babylonian king called Belshazzar, a grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, threw a big party in the palace. And he ordered all the golden vessels that his grandfather, King Nebu, took from the holy temple in Jerusalem to be used for the feast and the big party. And then thus profaning its usage. And God was displeased. And so he instructed his angels. They said, go and give a message of judgment to this king. And the angels must have thought, if I just appear instantly or disappear with my full body, they might not be paying attention to me because of their half-drunken state. And so the angels did something very strange. So he just stick out his hand, not his whole body, he just stick out his hand into the physical realm of the space-time continuum to write a message of judgment on the wall. And when the king saw such phenomena and the handwriting on the wall, he freaked out. Never saw such a thing before. And so his face turned pale and his knee knocked together in fear and his leg went jelly. And so hence an interdimensional world and extra dimensional beings actually best explain all the spiritual phenomena about angels and the miracles in the Bible. Therefore, angels, good or evil, are interdimensional beings. They have the ability to exist, or rather to appear and disappear and travel between the dimension. One moment you see them, next moment they are gone. And so if you read and paraphrase Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and principality and authority of the unseen spiritual world. Against the mighty power and the evil spirit being or spiritual being in the heavenly places. This morning we just did a spiritual warfare. It's something real. And even though they mostly operate in the dimensional world that we can't see, but they are real and they are powerful. And so from the many compilations of evidence number one, we can safely conclude that aliens and UFO are not extraterrestrial entities from other planets or galaxies, but they are satanic and demonic beings from the spiritual realm. Now, I'm going to give you other evidences to substantiate why, and to verify, but to validate why aliens are satanic and demonic beings. Evidence number two. The negative after effects of close encounters with aliens of UFO. There is a research done on close encounters of aliens and UFO. And in that research, Alan Hynek, an American astrophysicist, came up with a terminology. Close encounter of the first kind, close encounter of the second and the third kind. And close encounter of the first kind is defined as the human contactee is less than 500 feet from the UFO phenomena. For the second kind, the human contactee is actually having communications with the alien. And the third kind is where there is actual contact. And so when you look at all these incidents of close encounter, there is no single case that is positive or beneficial for the human contactee. After the physical contacts with aliens, the after effects of this contactee on this contactee is always harmful and malevolent. The least worst scenario from a close encounter is recurring, terrifying nightmare. And for the worst case scenario, people have been what we call killed by this encounter. So injuries and death at times happen. And some even experience sexual assault or abduction. More commonly is the death or injuries of animals that are associated with the human contactee. And so, we are definitely dealing with aliens that are harmful, evil, and sinister. Now, in addition, when you look at those cases of UFO aliens communicating with a human contactee, the information they give are always deceptive. And in many of the cases, the human contactee was put into a trance and they began to write a book. And the books written from the revelation received from aliens are always anti-Christ. And there are several occultic books on religions, some about 4,000 pages long. So, for example, there's a book called the Eurasia Book, based on some revelation received from alien. And a third of the content of is actually occultic book is focused on denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it contradicts the writings of the Bible about Jesus. And so it attempts to discredit our Holy Bible. And therefore we are dealing with fallen angels, because the Bible warns us and tells us the motivation of these fallen angels and demons. And here you can see again that if aliens teach about the spiritual realm, their sinister objective is always to contradict the Bible. So essentially, it is anti-Christ. And so, hence, from this evidence number two, we can further substantiate that aliens and UFO phenomena are evil entity of the spiritual realm and not of the physical realm. Evidence number three. People who have UFO encounters of the third kind are always those who are engaged in some occultic activity. And people have done detailed analysis on this area, have noticed this consistent pattern, and their research finding is very insightful. If you engage in occultic activity, you are unknowingly or you are actually inviting demons and fallen angels to invade your life. But if you repent in Jesus' name and get rid of those occultic activity, there will be no more UFO encounter. So statistically, people who practice occultic activity are far more prone to have this sinister UFO encounter. Now, UFO encounters happen in many places around the world. And statistics consistently show that it is much higher in France and Equatorial Brazil than in the US. Why? Because statistically, many more people in France and Equatorial Brazil are involved in the occult. And so there is a direct correlation between the percentage of the population involved in the occult and the percentage of the population that have this UFO encounter. Now, even if you look at just the statistics in the United States alone, Hawaii and Alaska have a higher incidence of UFO reports than you see in other states like Montana or Idaho. Now, here again, there is a direct correlation with the percentage of the population that is involved in the occult in those regions. And so this is an evidence-based explanation for the UFO phenomenon. It's not speculation, it is evidence-based and is scientific evidence. And then evidence number four. Alien UFO cannot be extraterrestrial entity because no other known planets besides Earth fulfill all the 14 habitability requirement. Now, for intelligent physical life to exist, astrophysicists have established what they call the habitability requirements. So, for example, for a planet to be habitable, it has to have a particular orbit around its star or host star. As for our planet Earth, our host star is actually the Sun. Our host star is called the Sun because it is at the center of our solar system. And so each whole star have to have certain characteristics. And so far, astronomers have discovered 14 planetary habitable zones. And this habitable zone is actually the region around a star where conditions might be just right for life to thrive. Specifically, it's the distance from the star where liquid water could exist on the surface of the orbiting planets. And because liquid water is essential for life, this zone represents a sweet spot, neither too hot nor too cold, where life could potentially flourish. And so far, scientists have actually discovered about 5,400 planets beyond our solar system. And when they look at these planets, none of them reside in even 3 of the 14 known planetary habitable zones. And so for a planet to be what we call habitable, it must simultaneously reside in all the 14 zones. And we know of one planet that actually fulfills all the 14 conditions, and this is our planet Earth. Elsewhere, we look, all the conditions are hostile, not only for advanced life, but also for microbial life. Now, it is also true that we might not have searched the entire universe. Some people may say there could be some undiscovered faraway location where God supernaturally designed a planet like what he did for Earth. Now, for that, we need to look for some theological answer in the Bible. As for today's sermon, we only focus on the scientific evidence. And so the theological argument will be mentioned in my next sermon. Now, all the other evidences I have given you already substantiate what I say. And so if I want to go into the theological argument from the Bible, it would be like extra thing. All right, so already, as I said, from a scientific evidence point of view, it already points to what I've said. And so in summary, based on all the above evidences, we can safely conclude that not all reported UFO phenomena are real. Generally, 97% of those incidents are misidentified, and only 3% of those are real. Now, number 2, these UFO or aliens are non-extraterrestrial beings, but evil and demonic spirit. And so some people begin to ask, if aliens are evil and demonic spirit, why do spirit need UFO spaceship to travel since they are spiritual being? Logical question, I will answer you. They don't want people to know the truth that they are evil and demonic spirit. Right? If you say, I'm evil and demonic spirit, we all run away from them. We don't like to talk to them, you know, because their intentions are always evil. And so they want people to believe that they are super intelligent beings coming from other distant planet or solar system or galaxy. Because there is a bigger evil agenda, a plot of a coming big deception, which I will explain to you in my next sermon, because this has got to do with the very end days. Last but not least, what is the key application of this sermon? What is this all about? The key takeaway is, take heed that no one deceives you. That is the saying from Jesus. His disciple asked Jesus, tell me about our last days. Please tell us more about our last days. The first statement from Jesus to his disciple, take heed that no one deceives you. So on this subject matter, it is the same thing. Take heed that no one deceives you. I already explained to you from a scientific perspective. And next week, or rather not next week, next sermon, I will explain to you what the deception is all about. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Amen. Shall we stand for the last praise song? Thank you.